Evening, wherever you are. This is Chandra from Microsoft Partner Enterprise Architect team. Very warm welcome for the SAP on Azure webcast series. This is the second session, which we call as Sales Topic 1, where we're going to cover the business context of SAP on Azure, and we're going to look at a number of use cases, the roadmap, the current certifications, the scenarios that are possible with SAP on Azure, and also what are the resources that are available for you to make much better business with SAP on Azure. This is the overall webcast series plan that we have. On 8th, we had the first session delivered by my colleague Norman Sequeira. He covered the Azure fundamentals as relevant to the SAP on Azure context. And today we have the first sales topic, and tomorrow and on 12th we have another sales topic as well. And the way that we have designed the overall webcast series is to kind of gradually build up, starting from Azure fundamentals to kind of cover the sales scenarios, and then go deep into the technical aspects like the architectural considerations and the deployment scenarios as well. So going through the entire webcast series, I think it is, we hope that you will be able to have a well-rounded view of the SAP on Azure as a solution by itself, and the opportunities it entails as well. So I strongly encourage and request that you participate in all of these series, given the investment of time and energy that we are making here. This is the broad agenda that we have for today. We're going to briefly cover the partnership between Microsoft and SAP. Then we're going to go into the various customer challenges and why somebody should consider running SAP on Azure, the various certifications that we have, and more importantly, we're going to cover a set of new scenarios that are made possible by the new enhancements that are coming on from the Azure context. And we'll also introduce you to Partner Enterprise Architect team, if you're not aware, and how that team can help you in terms of making best of the opportunities that this whole solution offers. So that's the agenda that we have today. The presentation will primarily be in a lecture mode, and I will be the lead presenter, but I have other colleagues of mine who are also participating. And there is going to be time for at least 10 to 15 minutes of Q&A. But during the presentation, if you have any questions, please feel free to type them in the Q&A at the top. There's a Q&A button at the top. Please feel free to type, and then we will respond as best as we can. Also, the entire presentation and the recording will be made available subsequently to all the participants on the channel 9. We'll also share with you a feedback link after the session, so that, and we request you to give your feedback so that we can customize the future webcast series to the best of your needs as well. With that as a context, let me first start off before I go into the overall SAP on Azure, just to kind of take a step back and look at the Microsoft and SAP partnership. And this is not a new partnership, right? It is, we have been together for more than 20 years now with more than 35,000 joint customers who continue to enjoy the best of the both worlds in terms of a fantastic agility and end-user productivity that the Microsoft platform offers. At the same time, a significantly lower TCO without sacrificing either reliability or performance considerations as well. So it has been a long partnership between both Microsoft and SAP, and a successful one at that as well. Now, in May 2014, we kind of expanded this partnership and kind of re-pivoted this partnership by calling it as the new beginning for what we call as innovating for your success. Right? So this is primarily pivoted around four pillars. The first one, which is the interoperability pillar. And when we talk about the investments that we are making under this pillar, it is primarily about Microsoft and SAP working together to provide the end users timely, secure, and seamless access to the SAP data by using the Microsoft toolkit. Right? Some examples of that would be like the Excel add-in for SAP BI, or the investments that we are making with respect to the gateway service that is going to come up on Azure for integrating with your SAP with Office 365 as well. So those are some of the investments that we're making under the interoperability pillar. The second one that I would like to talk about is the mobility and industry pillar. Some of the investments that we are making here are primarily aimed at untethering the employees, the SAP data, and the SAP process from the desktop, so that you could get a series of on-the-go access options using the Microsoft mobile devices, services, and platform. Under this pillar, we also may continue to make investments so that there will be continued development of SAP mobile applications for Windows 8. So that's a key area that we continue to make investments and expand the partnership as well. The third pillar where we have here is the platform and infrastructure. This is primarily about being able to run mission-critical applications without sacrificing performance, availability, and scalability at significantly lower TCO on our Windows Server and SQL Server platforms. It also focuses on providing a common IT solution for managing both the on-prem and online assets using our system-centered technologies as well. So these are the three main pillars that we have. But the most important and the one where we are focusing this session is on the cloud pillar that we have. And this is the most important pillar in the sense that this is where we are making a lot of investments this year with the goal of providing agility, vastly improved efficiencies, and also reduced TCO for our joint customers. And this is the focus of today's presentation as well. Right? So when we talk about the cloud pillar, we are primarily talking about our Microsoft Azure platform. So let's go a little bit deeper into this during the course of this session. Now, before I go into the overall Azure platform and the kind of advantages it offers, I just want to kind of set some context in the sense that, as I said, we're working with SAP for more than 20 years, and every year it has been a much more improved journey, and the results are there to see. For example, last year, 2013, more than nearly 75% of the net new SAP installations are on Windows Server. So we got about 80,000 SAP installations on Windows Server. Similarly, nearly 50% of net new SAP installations are on SQL Server. So there is huge amount of traction for this Microsoft and SAP partnership, and the results speak for themselves, as you can see. The other data point that I also want to bring to your attention is while we have significant traction with respect to the deployment of net new SAP implementations, if you take the mission critical element of it, and these are some of the stats that are coming out from, these are published stats from the SAP benchmark reports as well. Like, for example, if you see from a single server context, it's a very large box with about 80 processors and 120 cores, but it shows that we are able to support more than 47,000 concurrent users, delivering almost about 260,000 SAPs. Right, so that's significant from a single server solution perspective. And even if you take a three-tier implementation of SAP, on a large virtualized system, even there we can show that there are about 60,000 concurrent users that have been supported, and these are published benchmarks coming out of SAP. So what I'm trying to do is to kind of give you an evidence of there is a significant partnership between SAP and Microsoft, where we continue to make investments, and the results are showing. Both from a mission critical capability perspective as well as market responding to it in terms of the increasing market share from a new SAP installations perspective. So we've got a good story going here. Now, what does this all mean, right? And why should somebody look at our cloud platform, right? So to do that, I think let's kind of try and understand a little bit about the kind of challenges that a typical customer would face or is facing when they run their SAP workloads in their data center. Right? So I want to kind of pivot this discussion around three areas, right? Like, for example, if we take the business users in our customer organization, right? So they kind of may see the challenge of the business continuously evolving and changing, and they need to kind of rapidly respond to that. The SAP systems on which they rely on also needs to rapidly respond, which they find as a challenge, right? At the same time, they also want to optimize the cost that they're actually incurring in running these SAP systems. They also want to kind of be able to rapidly expand or contract based on the business demand. So those are the kind of some of the challenges that the business users in your customer organizations would face, right? So if you take the central IT lens in the same customer organization, which exists to serve the business, right? So they are finding challenges in terms of being able to quickly respond to the numerous enhancements or changes of these SAP workloads that the business is demanding, right? So they are also stretched in terms of the resources, both human resources as well as material resources. So how do we make the best use of the limited resources that they have? That's another challenge that they face. And also significant reduction in the central IT budgets are also having significant challenge. Is also posing a significant challenge to the central IT, and not to mention of the high cost of refreshing their existing data centers. So those are some of the central IT challenges, if I may say so. Right? Then if you look at from the developers who actually are making these changes that the business is demanding, they also have their own set of challenges. Right? So like, for example, business demands certain amount of changes and they face delays in procuring that kind of infrastructure from the central IT. They also have their budgets, they face challenges as well, and they probably need to have the complexity of the infrastructure that SAP workloads are deployed on is also another challenge that the developers face. Right? But if you look at all these challenges that the business, the central IT, and app developers kind of groups face, there are three common themes that are emerging. Right? One, there are certain efficiency challenges that running an SAP workloads in your data center is throwing up. Then there is a cost challenges, meaning continuous pressure to do cost optimization. And then being able to respond quickly to the business demands, which is an agility kind of challenge in displaying agility, is the third challenge, right? So efficiency, lower cost cost optimization and agility. If you see, these are the primary challenges that are emerging as themes across all these three groups. And we believe that these three challenges, right, the efficiency, agility, or TCO, are the ones that the Microsoft Azure platform can solve for our customers. And these are some of the data points that we have. For example, if you see efficiency, when you look at cloud as an alternate hosting environment, there are certain workloads like dev test and training and learning and demo environments, archiving kind of environments. So those are some of the environments where the cloud is eminently suitable and also provides a lot of efficiencies in terms of meeting those requirements. And how to do that, we'll talk about it. And I'll also share some case studies and use cases that we have learned from our customer engagement. So that is definitely something that the cloud is able to solve for our customers. The second one, from a total cost of ownership perspective, we are seeing there is significant savings ranging between 40 to 75% of savings that the cloud is able to provide from a total cost of ownership perspective. And why is that so? Because if you see Microsoft Azure as a platform, it actually operates out of more than 16 data centers worldwide, and each of these data centers are kind of two football fields wide. So it's a huge amount of investment that Microsoft is providing, putting into these data centers, and it also gives us, by having this kind of global spread, it gives us huge amount of economy of scale that we could translate to our customers as well. So that is a big advantage that very few companies in the world right now on this planet are able to provide. So that is a significant benefit that we could offer. And thirdly, from an agility perspective, we have seen, based on the customer engagements and the interactions that we are having with our early adopters, it is almost 200 to 300 times faster when you use cloud to provision certain types of environments as well. So even from an agility perspective, it is significantly advantageous. Also, it also gives the administrators and the through the Azure Management Portal, we have a lot of self-provisioning capabilities as well. So all in all, we see that this is there are significant benefits and also being able to meet those challenges that I talked about previously. But at the same time, I'm not saying that the cloud is an answer to every kind of problem our joint customers face, right? So the guys who are running their SAP workloads on a day-to-day basis, they will have numerous challenges. I'm not saying the cloud will be able to solve all of them. There could be some SAP installations that would probably never move on to cloud. But for where they could move and where the scenarios that we're going to talk about, cloud really provides some major benefits, right? So those are the things that I want to talk about subsequently. And as we launched the SAP certifications for Azure, right, we had a number of early adopters. There are almost more than 30 enterprise customers who have embraced the SAP on Azure as an early adopter. And we are seeing significant benefits that they are incurring. And what we also have done is kind of gleaned out a certain number of use cases based on the current capabilities of Azure and what are the kind of experiences that we have seen as well. So those are some of the things that I want to talk about here. So one significant use case that is jumping out is being able to rapidly spin up dev test environments on Azure. So today, from a large enterprise perspective, there are the landscape is pretty complex, right? So it takes a lot of time to kind of provision a dev test environment. There are a number of areas, number of tools that needs to be provisioned, starting from ALM, kind of even your virtual machines, you will have Java kind of applications. So there are significant complexities that that a normal administrator faces when provisioning a dev test environment on the cloud. But if you look at it from a cloud perspective, the cloud perspective actually reduces all these challenges significantly. One, because there are a number of virtual machine images that are already available on our Azure Management Portal that the administrators can readily use to provision these environments. They can also choose from a variety of Linux distributions. They could use our Visual Studio kind of thing to do the overall ALM story. And this is actually resulting into a significant amount of changes and to a significant amount of savings. Like, for example, KPMG, one of our early adopter, has moved about 450 dev and test instances onto Azure, and they saved almost about 3 million per year. So this is coming out of one of the early adoptions that we had, right? The second one is about being able to optimize the cost of dev test environments or other environments that are running on cloud. So because cloud, by the nature of the way it operates, you can shut down and switch it on as and when you require. So you could certainly meter the kind of usage. And this is one of the another use case that that is being heavily adopted by our customers. And for example, one of the early adopters, again, PwC, for example, had saved almost about 40% to 75% of their hosting costs when they kind of leverage the Azure environment to host their dev and test environments as well. So that is another use case that is clearly very, very leading from an Azure, SAP on Azure perspective. The third use case that I would want to talk about is kind of being able to flex up and down your data center capacity, right? So if you have made an acquisition or even during your business growth perspective, right, there is an opportunity here, especially from a hybrid deployment. I'll talk about what a hybrid deployment would be. And if you have a hybrid SAP deployment where you have certain components of your SAP landscape, like for example, SAP CRM could remain on Azure, whereas your ERP could remain on-prem. And as your business grows, you can choose to move the SAP CRM from cloud to on-prem or vice versa. And the advantage with Microsoft Azure, especially if you're running on-prem the Hyper-V environment, right? If you're running your workloads on Hyper-V, we use the same VSD format between the on-prem as well as Azure. So that kind of gives you seamlessly able to flex up and flex down your data center capacity as per your business requirements. Again, we have an evidence here where a global snack food company, which is a Fortune 200 company, has made an acquisition, and they are able to move about 126 historical systems that they have gained, that they have acquired as part of their acquisition, moved them on to the Azure, and could make almost about 1.5 million savings per year. So these are all big numbers, right? So, and their numbers are not coming out of thin air, right? So these are something that we have seen, and we believe that there are these kind of use cases will help you in provisioning appropriately the SAP on Azure story with our joint customers as well, right? So these are some of the use cases that I wanted to kind of give you an early view, and I will also cover in detail some of the case studies that are coming out of these early adoption that we have done. Now, we have talked about the typical challenges that the customer has. We also talked about how the Microsoft Azure platform could solve some of those challenges. We also had talked about the typical use cases that we have seen out of the early adoption program, right? This is all fine, but what is actually available now, right, from an SAP certifications on Microsoft Azure platform, right? If you look at that, this slide is what it talks about. Now, this is what is currently available. It does not mean that this is it, because we are in a continuous motion of working with SAP to get more and more things certified on Azure. But right now, what we have certified is any SAP Business Suite software that runs on SAP NetWeaver application server of 7.0 and above. So anything that runs on NetWeaver platform of 7.0 and above is certified on Azure. And from an operating system perspective, we currently certify Windows, and from a database perspective, we have SQL Server. In terms of the VM sizes that are currently certified, it is A5 VM. So these are certified, but what works could be different, but these are all what are certified. But the A5 instance that we have talked about, which is kind of 2 CPU, 14 gig RAM kind of a VM, is the basic VM that we have. And the reason why we have started with this certification is to kind of provide a slow ramp up for our customers as they kind of grow in and learn about this, solution. So as we move along, which I'll talk about in the next slide, I'll also talk about some of the roadmap that we have, right? And from an OS perspective, when we say Windows OS, what we are supporting here right now is anything above Windows Server 2008 R2. So the reason why we have stopped at Windows Server 2008 R2 and not anything below is there are certain amount of improved memory management capabilities that the Windows Server 2008 R2 offers, and that helps SAP run extremely well on the Azure platform as well. Similarly, from a SQL Server perspective, we have SQL Server 2008 R2 and above is certified right now. And again, that is because of certain database compression capabilities that the 2008 R2 solution provides, right? So those are the reasons why we have stopped at those levels. From a HANA perspective, we currently certify HANA Developer Edition running on SUSE Linux, and the VMs are there for you to see as well. Okay, so this is what, as I said, is currently certified on Azure. But if you look at the near-term roadmap that we have, right, so we are actively working with SAP in bringing certifications for Oracle and Sybase. I'm sure they will be announced at a very short notice in a matter of months. And from a VM perspective as well, we have the bigger sized VMs that we have, including the A9 VM to be certified in a short notice. So this means that we will be able to run much, much bigger workloads on Azure, which is all very good news, because just by expanding beyond the database platform from SQL Server, we are actually practically doubling the addressable market space. So from the partners like yourself and Microsoft perspective, this is a huge opportunity that this near-term roadmap is offering to us. So we are in a pretty good shape from the certification perspective as well, because once we have done the initial ramp up, we have seen a lot of customer interest, and we're actively working. So stay tuned for the kind of announcements that will be coming out from a certification perspective. Now, these are, I also wanted to kind of share with you some of the support prerequisites that we have, like for example, the SAP OSS note that I have up here talks in detail about the support prerequisites. For example, for running a production workload on Microsoft Azure, SAP production workload on Microsoft Azure, you definitely need a premier support contract. You will also need your enhanced monitoring extension for SAP that needs to be deployed in every instance of SAP. And the deployment of these monitoring extensions is semi-automatic, in the sense that the PowerShell scripts are available on the Azure Gallery. You will just have to run that and the extension components get deployed automatically. But this is a very, very important component that needs to be deployed for SAP being able to monitor the deployments and then offer support. Some of the supported SAP system types are listed there. I talked about, from a use case perspective, I talked about dev, test, prototype, learning and demo systems, but small production systems based on the current certification levels also could be supported in a hybrid mode as well. So those are some of the support prerequisites and supported SAP systems from a business perspective. There are also a number of technical considerations that you should keep in mind, which we will cover in the later sessions of the webcast. Like, for example, you need to have the app server and the DB server in the same virtual network. You need to have them in the same affinity group. If you are kind of doing a hybrid deployment, you should have either a site-to-site VPN or Express Route configured. So there are many other technical considerations that you should have and that you should consider when you're talking to your customers, and these we will go in detail in some of the technical sessions. And what does site-to-site VPN mean? What does Express Route mean? Those things have been covered in the previous session on Azure Fundamentals. So it is important that you continue throughout the webcast series so that you could make those connections as we go along these webcast series as well. Now, we have talked about the challenges, and we also talked about what are the kind of use cases that we are seeing And we also talked about what is the certifications that are available now, what are the certifications that are available now, and what is the roadmap as well. What we did not talk about are what are the future enhancements that Azure itself is making, right? So there are a number of enhancements and improvements and new features that are being rolled out for Azure almost on a daily basis, right? So there's huge amount of innovation that is coming out of Azure. So what we want to kind of paint a picture is what are the kind of possibilities that this that these enhancements and the feature rollout of Azure mean from an SAP on Azure perspective. So what are the kind of typical scenarios that you could consider as and when those functionalities come up as well, right? So those are the kind of four or five scenarios that we are going to, that I want to briefly touch upon as well. The first one is what we want to consider is a hybrid deployment, right? We talked about moving your test and dev environments onto Azure, right? So, so typically you have either more than one, at least in a large SAP deployments, large SAP landscape, you will have more than one test dev and QA environments. And also, customers actually face a lot of challenges in having multiple projects of the SAP enhancements being delivered because of challenges of infrastructure provisioning or challenges of managing all of these multiple projects rolling out as well. So, so that is a typical challenge. But what is possible with Microsoft Azure now that the SAP is certified there is you could have a set of test and dev environments running on-prem, running some of your application enhancement projects. You could also have in parallel a test dev environment on cloud. You could have multiple test dev environments, and you probably run these projects separately, the enhancement projects separately in these separate environments where there are minimal dependencies between these two projects. And then you use the solution manager to kind of integrate these enhancements and kind of roll it out into your production. I'm not saying that this is very easy or it is very, it's kind of, it is a non-trivial exercise but you would be surprised to know that some of the partners, the early movers in the partner ecosystem are actively considering this scenario to build their own IP on SAP Solution Manager. So this is actually a real customer opportunity to kind of, especially those who are who have a lot of experience in running SAP deployments and managing large-scale SAP landscapes. It's a real opportunity to kind of build your own differentiation through IP development for this kind of scenario, to support this kind of scenario where you could enable customers to run multiple SAP enhancement projects across in parallel test dev environments, and then being able to integrate that and roll out into production, significantly improving the agility, whereas reducing the overall cost and introducing a lot of efficiency in your SAP landscape as well. So that's one scenario that the Azure platform would offer, but it actually has opportunities for partners to differentiate themselves. So that's one scenario that you could potentially consider. And we will go into detail in terms of what are the considerations for this in the technical sessions as well. But in this session, I'm trying to kind of give you a bird's eye view of what are the possibilities with the new Azure enhancements that are coming up, right? The second possibility that we have is with Azure, we have a capability of creating templates, right? So if we take a scenario like you have an SAP customer where you have a number of different sets of users, and each set of users has got different requirements from a training perspective. Right? I'm just taking an example of training and learning it, but it can easily be applied for any context as well. So you could potentially create a number of templates in Azure, which has got the various SAP component images all bundled together as one template and store it in your private image gallery itself. And based on your business needs, like for example, if your HR application, for your HR system, you rolled out a set of enhancements, and at the same time, you also have rolled out S&D enhancements. And depending upon which kind of user group wants your learning and training requirements, you could quickly spin up using those templates that you have previously stored in Azure. You can quickly spin up those environments, those learning and training demo environments, and so that they can learn faster, and then you shut them down as well. And you can also make these changes to the templates as your business requires as well. So that gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of, one, being able to cut down on the amount of time that you need for provisioning these environments. And at the same time, it also gives you ability to optimize your cost because you only pay for what you consume on Azure, right? So that is definitely another scenario that you might want to consider. And again, as I said, we'll probably do a kind of a demo of this during our webcast session. And in fact, it is right now available. Like for example, the SAP Alliance team actually supports something called as a fast track environment. And within that fast track environment, you can look at this exact scenario that I have talked about. So that is that we can showcase as well. The next scenario that I want to spend a little bit more time is on the disaster recovery scenario. Right. So, like typically, what we have seen, at least based on our understanding, and you can, you obviously have, most of you have got a lot of experience in this context as well, is if you see the large scale enterprise SAP customers, they typically almost at least at 40 to 45% of the enterprise customers don't have an active DR solution. So the reason why they don't have an active DR solution is either because of the cost or complexity, because maintaining a DR solution by itself is a pretty involved process. It also requires a lot of processes to be in place and things like that as well, right? So where they have, you currently have on-prem, right? So that is a problem that some of the enterprise SAP customers face in having a ready-made DR environment that they can rely on reliably as such, right? So that is a problem. But right now, when you have the Azure as a solution, and once we have the bigger VMs available, Azure is certainly can be considered as an option for your DR. Right. And right now, we only have an application level DR capability, but in very near future, in about 3 to 6 months time frame, we have something called as Azure Site Recovery coming up, which is currently in preview mode, and we are expecting that to be production ready, what we call as GA, in about 6 months time frame. And with Azure Site Recovery solution, when that gets integrated with an acquisition that we made called as Image, it gives us a very strong capability to kind of replicate both your at an infrastructure level itself, right? You could replicate your storage, you could replicate your computing or configure your networks, and not just that, you could replicate your virtual machines, whether it is Hyper-V or VMware, or you could also replicate your physical servers onto Azure, right? So that's a very, very strong scenario that you should consider, especially if you are working with customers who doesn't have an active DR, or who would like a DR solution but want to it to be very cost effective as well, right? So that's a new scenario that you should focus on. And again, during the technical sessions, we're going to pay some more attention and detail into how this scenario would work out as well. Another scenario that I want to kind of quickly draw your attention to is something called as remote app service that is, again, currently in preview on Azure, and it is going to come out in a very short while, in about, I think, it's probably by end of the year that is targeted to be GA as well. So remote app kind of gives you capability to publish apps on a remote server and you access them directly using a web portal. So your client device could be anything, and you could just access that using the remote app. And an example for that, I'm just taking a simplistic example. Like, for example, you've got some developers who want to use your HANA developer edition that we currently support on Azure. Right. So rather than having a HANA Studio on your desktop, you could probably publish the HANA Studio as an app on the remote app server, and the developer could just use the web browser to access that. Right? And also the other things could be like, for example, a salesperson who wants to kind of look at the invoices doesn't actually need a SAP GUI to be installed on his device. It could be his laptop, or it could be his tablet device as well. So as long as it is published as a remote app, you could actually use the browser to kind of access those services as well. So again, this is a number of other business scenarios are possible by this solution, by this capability that Azure is coming up with. So the point I'm trying to make here is that while SAP is getting certified on Azure from an infrastructure perspective, there are a number of enhancements that are coming from an Azure platform perspective as well. So pulling them together, I think there are a number of scenarios that are possible where you could create value to your customers. So from our team perspective, we kind of conceptualized few of the scenarios. But as you understand this platform and the kind of capabilities that we are delivering, I'm sure that you could probably come up with a number of other scenarios that we jointly can take to our customers as well, right? So that's the kind of view that I wanted to give from what are the possibilities that SAP on Azure would enter, right? Now, I also wanted to kind of quickly cover some of the case studies that we have. Some of these I have referred to actively during the use cases that I talked about. Like, for example, the Code AI use case is a large telecom company based out of New Zealand, where they have kind of moved all of their SAP business use dev test environments onto Microsoft Azure and kind of saved about 70% compared to traditional hosting models, right? So this is a strong, referenceable use case that you could use, right? Similarly, we have Zespri, which is operates out of New Zealand and one of the large Orchard and Kiwi Fruit brand. And Zespri is kind of a thought leader in the sense that they want to be completely cloud oriented, meaning they want to move all of their IT into cloud. They want to be completely free from on-prem IT, so they're kind of thought leader in this space. And they had a very good experience in moving some of their initial, they are also one of the early adopters that we had, and they had a very good experience of moving their SAP development environment into cloud, into our Azure platform. This was, I think, the data that we have on the slide is probably around March timeframe, and I'm sure that they have progressed much further here, Zespri. And similarly, this use case I talked about, which is related to KPMG, where they have moved almost about 450 instances onto cloud, saving almost about 3 million. This is something that we already discussed. Similarly, the Fortune 200 company that I talked about, where we have almost 126 historic systems as a result of acquisition that has moved on to cloud as onto the Azure platform as well, savings are about 1.5 million. So these are all a number of other case studies and case studies that we have, which you can use during your customer conversations, and where we can actively help you in terms of positioning the value of SAP on Azure platform as well. And again, this is another customer case study that we have, which is for PwC, is what I would talk about, right? And this is for Becton and Dickinson, where they had moved their the learning and demo environments onto Azure. So that's another case study that you could use. Some of them, we couldn't refer the customer names, but on a publishing concept, but we certainly talk about these customers when you consider an active customer situation as well, right? Now, I just wanted to give you a kind of a view of the TCO ROI model, because when we went through the use cases or the case studies, right, we are talking about numbers, right? We are talking about 75% savings, we are saying 40% savings. So how do we come up with this, right? I think we had, came back. Sorry about that. So how are we coming up with this? So this is the model that we have, where we have, I'm just giving you an example of a typical implementation on Azure with about 40 virtual machines and 600 GB. And this gives us, using the Azure calculator, what would be the typical cost of running this installation on Azure. Whereas if you take running a similar infrastructure on-prem, the costs that we arrive at are based on certain parameters, like what could be the annual hardware expense, what are the administration costs, power expense, these kind of things. We use a industry standard benchmarks for these kind of things. And we have a pretty good calculator that helps us coming up with this TCO ROI model. And for any active customer situation, we'll be more than happy to support you in terms of building this TCO ROI model for your customers. And we have done that for a number of customer engagements already. But it's a very, very strong scenario or a very, very strong model to put in front of your customer and say, I would not find a customer who would not at least sit up and take notice and say, hey, tell me more about it, right? So, and these are some of the things that are possible for you to go into a sales conversation. That's why we are having these models shown up to you as well. So this is an asset that is available that you could leverage as well, right? So that's what I wanted to cover quickly from a TCO ROI model perspective. Now, while we talked about the roadmap, the current certification level, the scenarios that are possible, when you actually go in front of your customer, we should also be careful in terms of what is the licensing guidance that you should give to your customers as well. And this slide talks about that licensing guidance. Like, for example, this is about bring your own licenses. So your customers should bring their SAP licenses. SAP offers the license mobility, and Microsoft will not be providing any SAP licenses. So it's all about license mobility. Similarly, SQL, there is license mobility applicable even for SQL Server. And as and when we get Oracle certification and Sybase certification, the same license mobility would apply for them as well. But this is something that you should keep in mind as well from a, when you have your customer conversations. Now, finally, what I also wanted to kind of cover is an ability of a team that is available for partners like yourself to pull together all of this innovation, whether it is the capabilities of Azure platform, what is available from an SAP perspective, how do you engage into your customer conversation, and how do you build a solution that you could present to your customer as well, right? So those are the things that the partner enterprise architect team, the team that I belong to, we'd be able to provide you support, right? So this is a team that exists to support partners like yourself, and we run a number of programs, the pre-sales support. We also have created a number of proactive proposal scenarios, but fundamentally this is a team of SAP and Microsoft platform architects available to work with you to define a solution that you could take to our customers from an SAP and Azure perspective. So a lot of, some of our partners are already leveraging this team, and you could reach to the team through a number of different channels. You could directly in email, but also there are other avenues, like you could reach to your alliance team, or you could reach to your regional solution leads. And there are a number of ways to reach to this team, but this team is there to support partners in winning big from an SAP on Azure perspective as well. And when I talked about these scenarios, and also the kind of, this slide talks about the kind of support that the P team can provide to you. It does the readiness, like for example, the webcast series that we're talking about is one of the initiatives that the P team is driving along with the Azure CAC team, the team that actually does the certifications of SAP products on Microsoft platform. We also have number of evangelization workshops, in-person training workshops that the Alliance teams are driving, coinciding with the T-code events, and all those are additional additional avenues available for your teams to get ready from an SAP on Azure perspective. Opportunity support, I talked about what the B team can provide, but when I talked about all the scenarios that are possible, right, we are trying to kind of encapsulate all of them into a set of proactive proposals, a proactive scenarios that we could drive with our joint customers as well. And this slide talks about some of those proactive proposal scenarios that we are putting together, the P team is putting together, and these should be available by end of this month for you to kind of leverage with our joint customers as well. Now, this is kind of an overview of what I was trying to give you from what is the kind of challenges that the customers face from a typical SAP landscape perspective. How the cloud is well suited to solve some of those challenges, like the challenges that I talked about. The experiences that we had from the early adopters, the kind of a number of use cases that are possible, that we are seeing. We also talked about what are the certifications that are currently available and what are the what is the future roadmap as well. And we also talked about what are the new scenarios that are possible based on the Azure innovation that is coming up as well, right? We also talked about a team, partner enterprise architect team that exists to support you from an SAP and Azure sales perspective. But this session doesn't end here, right? So there is another follow-up session on 12 September, which covers a number of other sales topics as well. So please make sure that you attend that to kind of go more deeper into the business context of SAP on Azure. And then we will follow that up with couple of technical sessions as well, where we will talk about the architectural aspects as well as demo some of the scenarios that I talked about previously. So this is what we had for you, and thank you so much for your patience. And I saw some of the questions popping up on the Q&A window, and I'm sure some of my colleagues would have answered them. But if you have any more questions, now is the time, because we still have about 8 minutes left in this session. So if you have any more questions to ask us, feel free to raise them now. And these are some of the learning resources that are available to you. And let's see if we have any other questions. There are very... Yeah, so I think these have been answered already. Any other question that has come up? How do you access the presentation and recordings via channel? And we will send you, David, we will send you a link for the channel 9. I think after all the sessions are complete, we will post them onto channel 9. And for all the registered and attendees, you will get a link from where you could look at both the presentation as well as the recording. I hope that answers your question. Any other questions? Okay, so there is a question we have. Okay. What kind of performance benchmarks have been seen on? So there is an, when we certify, an SAP certifies rather, for a specific VM configuration, we actually go through a series of benchmark tests, and these are all published as part of a benchmark report. Like for example, for A5s, we have 1200 SAPs as the benchmark. And for as we release more VMs, we will release the kind of SAPs these VMs would support from a benchmark testing perspective. But if you look at the documentation that is already available, you could see what are the benchmarks that have been certified by SAP as part of their benchmarking exercise. I hope that answers your question, Vivek. We got 4 more minutes, and if you have any other questions, feel free to, don't feel shy. Yes, as we have higher VM certified, we will have published results for much higher SAPs, as I was saying, right? We are actively working to kind of certify all of our higher VM configurations, and I'm sure in few months time all of them could be available. Any other questions? Okay, we have one more question. Vivek has a question. You had a question, Vivek? Another question. I think Vishal, I'm having a challenge to see the questions. Hold on. Okay, so Vivek, you had a question. I can see it now. Auto scaling, it is possible, but you will, like for example, if you're going to deploy your SAP workload, there is obviously, you know, this central instance, and you have the number of app servers that you could distribute and scale out, right? That certainly works, but you will have to configure the auto scale, the scale out capabilities. There is it is a configurable parameter, so if you configure that, I think the scale out is possible. That's how it would work. Do you have an active situation that you want to look at for us? If you have, please drop a note, and then we can probably take it discussion further as well, Vivek, if you have an active customer situation. And David's question is, I have a cloud deployment in another virtual data center. How easy it would be to move the virtual image onto the Azure platform? So as long as it is the Azure supported image, like the VSD formats that we support from a Hyper-V perspective, you could move that as well onto the Azure platform. Vivek has another question. I hope your question is answered, Vivek. And with respect to scale out, as I said, right, feel free to reach out to us, pete@microsoft.com, or your Microsoft contact. You can come to us through that, and we can talk about this this particular situation as well. Okay, with that, I think we have come to an end for today's session, and thank you so much again for spending the time to join our webcast sessions, and you will get a feedback link. So please share your feedback so that we could refine as we do these subsequent sessions. But thank you so much, and have a good day.